leave off, rush to the remembrance of Allah, وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ, and leave off all business. So now when that adhan is called, is it permissible to start to sell, continue to sell?
No.
It's not permissible. It's haram for you to sell at that time. That's better for you if you were new. Then Allah says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And it says, this is verse number 9.
O ye who believe, when the call is proclaimed for the prayer on the day of Friday, Jummah prayer, come to remembrance of Allah, Jummah, religious talk, khutbah, and prayer, and leave off business and every other thing that is better for you if you did but know.
So there's the commandment not to sell. It's haram to sell. Now listen to what Allah says, the English translation.
Then when the Jummah prayer is finished, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah by working.
Stop. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ, and when the salat is over, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, go out into the earth and do what? Do the things you were doing before. Is it wajib on you to go out and sell? Alright, now you understand the principle, right? Do you understand the principle now? I hope so, inshallah. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah is commanding you to go out. But that statement of commandment is coming after a statement of prohibition. So the Messenger of Allah, Jazakallah khairan, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taktubu anni, don't write from me. That means it's haram to write. Now let's see if there's some more statements after that statement telling you to write. And what is the position of that statement? The Messenger of Allah, from one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, from the Ansar, complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he hears hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, but sometimes I forget them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that is authentically narrated or collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Jami', the Messenger of Allah said, اِسْتَعِنْ بِيَمِينِكْ وَأَوْمَأَ بِيَدِهِ لِخَطَّ. He said, seek help from your right hand. And he pointed, the Messenger of Allah made a sign by writing like this. This is what the Messenger of Allah told him to do. اِسْتَعِنْ بِيَمِينِكْ, seek the assistance, because you have a bad memory, seek assistance from your right hand. And then the Messenger of Allah, with his hand, started doing like this in a writing fashion. This is one hadith of the many hadiths where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordering us, meaning it's permissible now, because he told you not to do it. It's permissible to write down. And this hadith, brothers and sisters in Islam, was written down, was mentioned by the Messenger of Allah, of course, during his time and after the first few early years of Islam when he made the prohibition. We also have another hadith from one of the famous companions of the Messenger of Allah, Rafi' ibn al-Khadij, radiallahu anhu. He said, I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we hear from you many things. Should we write them down? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اُكْتُبُوا وَلَا حَرَجْ, write and there is no harm. Write and there is no harm. And this hadith is found in Tadrib al-Rawi on page 286. And this is by Imam al-Suyuti, if my memory serves me correctly. The third example, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him and to the companions around him, "Qayyidu al-ilm." Qayyidu al-ilm. He said, "Preserve knowledge." Is that the end of the hadith? No. Qayyidu al-ilm bil-kitab. Preserve knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of what? Of Islam. Of Islam. Quran and Sunnah, together Islam, preserve knowledge by writing. It's the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we find this found in the book called Jami'u Bayan al-Ilm, Ibn Abd al-Barr, on page 72. Also, we have Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu, who sought permission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to write down hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him to do so. And it's also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith were written down by Abu Rafi', where they were copied down by other companions of the Messenger of Allah. One of them, Salman, a pupil of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, where he said, I saw some small wooden boards with Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was writing on them some reports of the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he had acquired from Abu Rafi'. This is another proof that these hadith were being written during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith which are the vessels of the sunnah and the utensil that is used to revive and protect the sunnah. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also have Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, ibn al-Aas, the illustrious companion who is the son of another illustrious companion radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. And by the way, Abdullah ibn Amr, brothers and sisters in Islam, was more prolific in preserving the sunnah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah than Abu Huraira himself in terms of writing. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Aas radiallahu anhu was more ahfaz, more in the protection and preservation of hadith than Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in terms of writing. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was ahfazun nas. He was the most prolific in protection and preserving the Prophet's hadith by memory. But Abdullah ibn Amr had him beat by writing. And he said, radiallahu anhu, in a hadith in al-Bukhari's collection, and also in the authentic hadith in al-Darimi, he said that the reason why Abdullah ibn Amr was beating him, he said, because كَانَ يَكْتُبْ وَلَا أَكْتُبْ. He used to write, and I didn't write. He used to write, and I didn't write. Because Abu Huraira, of course, alhamdulillah, he was high power. One reason, there's two main reasons. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test. Beware, it's going to be a test, inshallah. And what's going to remind me, inshallah. He gives you a test. There's two main reasons why Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman ibn al-Sakhr, our illustrious companion of the Messenger of Allah, one of Ahl al-Sufa, one of the people who used to stay in the vestibule or the porch in the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and collect from the Messenger of Allah. Two main reasons why he had beat everybody else. Number one, because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr, radiallahu anhu wa radahu, he used to be very satisfied. He was totally content with just taking small morsels of food and staying away from a lot of the worldly things and sticking tenaciously to the sunnah and to the vessel of the sunnah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the first reason. While everybody else was out taking care of their jobs, taking care of their camels, milking their goats, being carpenters or whatever, in the halal way of life, instead of taking river and selling videos and stuff like that, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to stick to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than a leech sticks on you when it jumps on your skin. That's the first reason why he was the most prolific in preserving the sunnah so that you and I could say, Qala Rasulullah, Qala Rasulullah, Qala Nabiyullah, Qala Rasulullah. The Messenger of Allah said, the Prophet of Allah said, the Messenger of Allah said, every time we hear Abu Huraira, we should say, Radiallahu anhu. And I don't know what's wrong with y'all right now by not saying it. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. We're talking about reviving and protecting the Sunnah. So, that's the first reason. The second reason why Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, was the most prolific in preserving the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah in the form of hadith was what? Anybody know? His memory. But why was his memory so high power? Because the Prophet sallallahu ahsanta. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And he radiallahu anhu said, after that, ma nasitu shay'an. Ma nasitu shay'an. I never, after that, ba'da dhalik, I never forgot anything I memorized. Never once did he forget anything. After he heard it, he never forgot it. Radiallahu anhu. And we can't remember what color pants we had on last week or what we ate for breakfast yesterday. Abu Huraira, alhamdulillah, radiallahu anhu, was a means of protecting and reviving the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasleem al-mazidah. Another example is Abdullah ibn Amr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, قَيِّدُوا الْعِلْمِ. Preserve knowledge. So he said, and how should it be preserved, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, writing it. By writing it. We're coming to an end, inshaAllah. And then, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, he said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I told him, I want to narrate your hadith. So I want to take assistance of my handwriting besides my heart. Because this is where we memorize. So he said, do you deem it fit for me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, if it is my hadith, you may seek help from your hand besides my heart. If it is my hadith that you want to preserve, then you may use your hand to help facilitate your heart's memory. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, he said, كُنْتُ أَكْتُبُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَسْمَعُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأُرِيدُ حِفْظَهُ فَنَنْتَهِنَا يَا قُرَيْشِ وَقَالُوا أَتَكْتُبُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ تَسْمَعُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ بَشَرْ يَغْضَبُ كَمَا يَغْضَبُ الْبَشَرْ. And in another narration, he said, من الغضب والرضا. Abdullah ibn Amr said, I used to write whatever I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and went to learn it by heart. And I wanted to learn it by heart. Some of the pagans from among the Quraysh tribes tried to dissuade me. They tried to dissuade me, encourage me not to write down the Messenger of Allah's statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do you think they wanted to do this, brothers and sisters? They wanted to do this because they knew that they couldn't approach the Quran. Because Allah and His infinite, expansive, and that's an understatement, wisdom, He didn't see it fit to have the sunnah, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, not the sunnah, but the hadith of the Messenger of Allah preserved. That we find some hadith that are authentic, we find some hadith that are unauthentic, we find some hadith that are forged, fabricated, etc. In Allah's deep wisdom, He saw fit not to have the hadith preserved like the Quran. So they tried to dissuade Abdullah ibn Amr from writing down hadith. This is what they said to him. أَتَكْتُبُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ تَسْمَعُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You're going to write down everything you hear from the Messenger of Allah? Everything? Even though he's a human being and he gets angry? You see what they're trying to say to him? In other words, he's a human being like me and you. He gets angry. He may say something that he doesn't really mean. You see? So in a state of anger and pleasure, as a human being, he may make mistakes. Why are you going to write down everything he's saying? So Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, he went to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, write down what you hear from me, for surely I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand, nothing comes from this, and he pointed to his mouth, except the truth. Write it down. How much time? No. How much time? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay. There's quite a bit of information here, brothers and sisters, as we mentioned. But I'd like to just mention one more thing as a proof that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these things written down in his lifetime. And it didn't happen centuries later, or it didn't happen at all, as some people say, that these are fabrications or these are bid'ah. We know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unlike us, and of course he's unlike us in every aspect except as human beings, because he received the wahi from Allah, the revelation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give dawah to the leaders of the tribes, the leaders of the villages, the emperors, the kings, the Caesars, the popes of their time. Unlike us, we don't think about sending the mayor of Philadelphia a letter inviting him to Islam. We don't think about sending the governor of Pennsylvania a letter to invite him to Islam. We don't think about sending state senators letters inviting him to Islam, or that president, Mr. Clinton, a letter inviting him to Islam. Sometimes we play Allah cheat as though he can't guide them, and we're afraid when the ayahs have been left to send them letters as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. In fact, as my dear brother and friend and colleague in Islam, Abu Muslima, hafizahullah, he's always reminding me, Dawood, really, we should be going to those big shots. Go to the people with the cash. Go to those movie stars and them basketball players. Because it's probably more difficult, Abu Muslima says, for us to make that kind of cash than for us to give him dawah and let him accept Islam, and his cash comes with him. This is true. Go to the leaders. This is what they used to do in the time of the Prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to send letters to the Kiswa and to the emperor, to the Caesar. And one of them, he was the Caesar, or not the emperor, called Heraqal. Heraqal, as one of my friends, he calls him Hercules. He translates as Hercules. His name was Heraclius. He says Hercules. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as another proof that hadith were written during the time of the Prophet, and we're going to end it here, inshallah. Those letters, brothers and sisters, are hadith. Don't forget that. Those letters are hadith. They're in the form of, we have those hadith in al-Bukhari and Muslim, etc. Those letters are, and now in the form of hadith. Listen to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Min Muhammad Abdullah wa Rasulihi ila Hiraq al-Azim al-Rum. Salamun ala man ittaba al-Huda. Amma ba'd. Fa'inni ad'uka bida'ayat al-Islam. Aslim, taslam. يُتِّكَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ مَرَّتَيْنِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ الْإِثْمَ الْأَرِيِّ السِّينِ وَيَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى الْكَلِمَةِ سَوَاءٍ إِلَى الْآخِرِ الآية. In the name of Allah, الرحمن الرحيم, from Muhammad, Abdullah, and his messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to Heraqal, the chief of Rome. Peace be on anyone who follows the right guidance. He didn't say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, Salamun ala man ittaba al-huda. Peace be on anyone who follows the right way. In other words, if you're down with the program, then it's assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you're feeling kufr, then it's peace be on anyone who follows the right way. The Messenger of Allah was afsah al-nas mughatan. He was the most eloquent of people in language. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd. As to what follows, فَإِنِّي أَدُعُوكَ بِدِعَايَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. I invite you to the guidance and the da'wah of Islam. That's the first thing he started out with. He said, I'm not inviting you to my economic program, my three-year program, or sending your quarters and nickels and diamonds every week. I'm not inviting you to come to some farmland separate from the white folks. I'm not inviting you to get 1 million Muslims to register to vote so we can have a political platform. I'm inviting you to the ayat of Islam. That's what I'm inviting you to. Aslim, teslim. You submit and take your shahada and you'll be safe. That's what the Messenger of Allah told him in that letter. Aslim, teslim. Take that shahada and you'll be safe. Your property and your blood will be safe with us. يُتِّكَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your shahada, Heraclius, He will give you a double reward. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Hadid that people of the Ahl Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, when they accept Islam, Allah brings all that stuff that they ain't getting no credit for before they took the shahada, and attaches it to their slate when they take the shahada. So when Mother Teresa takes her shahada, Allah yahdiha, may Allah guide her, ameen. When Nelson Mandela and all these big philanthropists and humanitarians and priests and whatever, when they take the shahada, all that stuff they was doing for the people in Bangladesh and Ethiopia, the mudslides and volcanoes that they ain't getting no credit for, no credit whatsoever, despite what some of these Muslims are saying, that they're going to be in Jannah and they're going to have a reward with their Lord, twisting the verses. They take shahada, then all that stuff they did then is going to be attached to their slate when they take shahada, and they're going to get kifleen, their fame. They're going to get a double reward. And then Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتَ. But if you turn away, if you reject this mission, if you reject this statement, أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ الْإِثْمَ الْأَرِيمِ السِّينِ. Then on you, because you're the leader of these people, it's the sins of everybody. You're going to carry the sin of all these people. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse in the Quran, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. To the end of the verse, all people of the book, come to a common agreement between you and I that we will not worship anything except Allah and ascribe anything as a partner to Him. To the end of the verse. And at the end of the verse it says, in my conclusion, and if they don't bear witness to this, then let them bear witness that inna muslimun, that we are Muslim. Alright? No, this is not the tafsir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, is explaining to us by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example, by his statement, by his action, and by his passive approval, that the writing down of hadith was done in his time because he commanded it by his statement, he did it by his own action, and he approved of it without any rejection, and he commended it, which is three types of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah: statement, action, and tacit approval. So with that, brothers and sisters, we need to make an active effort to help preserve and revive the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that sunnah is found in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the conduit to Jannah, the vehicle to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. There is no Islam without hadith. There is no Islam without the sunnah. And just saying that I believe and Allah and follow the Prophet is not sufficient. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين. Are you saying that it's permissible to write hadith? Why isn't it compulsory? That seems to be the closest to the verse. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Yes. When we say that it's permissible, we don't mean it's permissible. We're using the principle. The principle of saying that when the scholars of Islam say do this, and then telling you, don't do this, and then afterwards do this, the general meaning of it is as permissible. But in this sense, writing down the hadith of the Messenger of Allah is an obligatory act for us. It's an obligatory act. Number one, because we have to preserve the sunnah. And brothers and sisters, there is no preservation of the Quran without the sunnah. The question says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. And a rough translation of this is, surely we have sent down the dhikr, and surely we are preserving it. This verse, brothers and sisters, that says, surely we have sent down the dhikr here means the Quran. Now let me ask a question, brothers and sisters. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. Surely we have sent down the dhikr and surely we are preserving it. When he says that he has sent down the dhikr of the Quran, what does he mean by preserving it? Does anybody have an answer for this? No. The word dhikr in this verse means the Quran. It means the Quran. So what does it mean by preserving it, protecting it? None. By keeping in memory. So the only thing Allah was doing when he said he's going to send down this dhikr, the Quran, and we're going to preserve it, is just to make it be memorized? Huh? Not just memory. Oh, one person at a time. Oh. By living it out? Anybody else? Huh? By implementation?
Explanation of the Quran.
It means preserving everything in the Quran. The words, the letters, the verses, the surahs, everything. The actual text itself will be preserved. Secondly, it also means protecting and preserving the meaning. And the meaning of that zikr is in al-hadith. So that means, brothers and sisters, that anyone who says that hadith is unimportant, or they don't accept the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it has been unanimously agreed upon, or at least majority agreed upon by the scholars of hadith, from the sciences of hadith, and that Muslim doesn't accept it, then in actuality, they are, number one, denying the fact that Allah told the truth when he said he was going to protect this dhikr, and number two, They are falling in the meaning of the verse, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and disbelieve in the other part? Believe in what? Yes, we believe that this is the Quran, but we don't believe in the meaning. We believe that's the words of Allah, but we don't believe in the meaning. By not believing in the meaning means you don't believe in the meaning that Allah wanted you to understand of that meaning. And that is only found in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that.
Memorization and quoting hadith and Quran is necessary, but more emphasis should be placed on implementing what we learn. Can you comment on this?
Yes. Memorization and quoting hadith and Quran is necessary, but more emphasis should be placed on implementation of what we learn. Yes, this is extremely important. But don't downplay the memorization and quoting of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't downplay it. Oh, it's time for Salah, inshallah. We're going to stop right now? Okay. Should I just finish the statement? Don't downplay, brothers and sisters, the memorization of hadith. Because if you don't memorize hadith, brothers and sisters, you won't have Islam. How are you going to implement the hadith of the Messenger of Allah if you don't know exactly what he says? How are you going to do it? You just imagine, we don't have any more hadith of the Messenger of Allah. None. Burn all the Bukhari when he has it left. May Allah forbid. Let's say burn it. Or somebody may take part of it and splice it and then say, I said, burn all the hadith. No, I'm saying, let's say all the hadith were destroyed. But we know how some of y'all can get now. Y'all changed my words around. You know. Say, well, that was going crazy. He knew he was crazy. Now he's saying, burn all the hadith. No. Let's say all the hadith were destroyed. In fact, in the times of some of the great people of hadith, after the companions and the tabi'un and the isba'u tabi'in, there are some individuals whose houses used to catch on fire and their hadith compilations were destroyed. How do you think we got those hadith back? Because people memorized. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, there's no way in the world, and once again, the person who sent this note up, you're absolutely correct, but there's no way in this world, in this universe, that you are going to be able, and Allah knows best, to implement the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. In fact, you're not going to be able to implement the Quran if you don't have somebody memorize these hadiths. You're not going to have Islam. Memorization goes along with implementation. You cannot divorce them and don't ask for a khulu. You didn't catch that.